Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Cosmic Serpent, and it is the 13th day of the Red Skywalker Wave Spell, and it is Lunar Moon Day 24, and the Lunar Moon ends on Thursday, which is the 20th of September. And so we have some finishing thoughts. I think this podcast is going to be devoted to bridging us into the White World Bridger Wave Spell that starts on Monday, the 16th of September, and also just talking our way through the final stages of the lunar moon, which is seminal, and it seemed long. I would also say the Red Skywalker wave spell seemed long, and maybe it was because it was lunar, but it's kind of a thrill because I thought that things were really speedy. The first few wave spells of our Zolk'in, we've had a number of them. We had Red Dragon, and then White Wizard, and then Blue Hand, and then Yellow Sun. I just remember at some of those being surprised, like, well, that's over already. It was pretty speedy. Maybe the speed of light of Yellow Sun, maybe all the power of accomplishment of Blue Hand. I don't know. But Red Skywalker had this long unfolding, which I think is very reflective of the nature of the tribe Red Skywalker, where we spend time essentially disassociated, which I guess is a psychoclinical term for not really being in your body. Disassociated from your body means that your thoughts and maybe perception is like not about what's happening to you around you in your physical body. You're disregarding your physical experience and having an altered state exploration. And that can seem like a psychosis, or it can seem like being high on a substance, and it can be invited and embraced, or it can feel alarming. And in Red Skywalker, perhaps you had some of each, or maybe if you just use the Red Skywalker picture to, it's a time that emulates being high on mind-altering substances. So maybe you just remember, like, oh, sometimes when I'm in a state of being high, it's celebrative, or it feels really enlightening and expansive, and sometimes it can feel anxiety-driven and unsettling. But the Red Skywalker wave spell, besides seeming long and spacious, I mean, I think that's why it has length in my remembrance of it now, 13 days. I'm like, it's just a really spacious, expansive time. There's a lot of freedom when you get to be bigger than your body. And maybe that's comfortable for some of us. And in comfort, time can fly, or time can just stop. You know, you're just in a different space than the one that's tracking time, you know, very logically. So we've traveled through this experience of being in the sky and spaced out in a 13-day wave form. And today, the cosmic day, which, you know, is again going to be broadcast super late in California, and so probably not relevant to you wherever you are. That's already past for you. But if you just revisit the cosmic experience of enduring and transcending presence, and also bridging wave spells, because I strongly believe that the cosmic day is the last residue of, for example, the Red Skywalker tribe's predominance. But it's as much this slow transformation, transition to the reckoning that will be of what's to come starting tomorrow, White World Bridger. So the cosmic day is a transcendence of the Red Skywalker tribe, Red Skywalker sentiments and experience, because we worked the wave spell, which means we grew, we struggled with the challenge that it held, we overcame the challenge, we reached a great new height, an epiphany, touched the sky in our own select way as the wave shot up as far as it could in the strength and determination to join the sun, you know, find God. And then falling back to earth, releasing any tension of always trying to attain things and just being in the mix of surrender and unknowing and chaos. Then things settle down, the wave settles down, and we finish here in this near stillness. The cosmic moment is when there is no motion, there is the finishing touches, just the last residue of substance of the wave spell that was, but it's just disseminating so that we can find space for the wave spell that will be. And sometimes the cosmic days, to me, are kind of, you know, they have the word endure in them, and they can feel like, just, you know, exhaustion or fragmentation, not really being able to grasp or ground because we're in between stages. But then sometimes they're just transcendent, and I have had that day. I've had that day where I'm just like, well, this isn't hard. There isn't this grating sense of, a resistance is upon me from the outside, you know, driving me into a place of powerlessness. I mean, that is a pretty frequent experience that I have of the cosmic tone. And I don't mean it when we hit it for 28 days, but when we touch in it for a day, it can be frustrating. It can feel like you're frazzled, and it can feel like, nothing's materializing because we're just in this dissolution that is between large scale growth patterns, the wave itself. So it's been nice anticipating moving into the World Bridger wave spell that starts on Monday, which is September 16th, and it is 13 days of exploring death. I would say that the best way to start always with a 13-day death sentence of White World Bridger is in the concept that it's the death of limitations. What is going to die is not our vitality. What's going to die is that which has been weakened, which doesn't have life force anymore. It's sort of elimination of things like plants lose leaves and flower petals when that arc of bloom is over, when the growth is diminishing because the weather changes. And we have that version, and it's really a perfect time of year to have a White World Bridger wave spell, because it really does imitate what's happening in nature as we move into fall, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, where plants are dropping their leaves in this grand gesture of paring down and preparing for the simplicity and the challenge of winter. And so, again, feeling into death as a natural process rather than something evil. I really think that's the most base distinction, that death can feel like a robbery, someone coming in and stealing from us our life force or that of another, if we're going to experience death outside us, the loss of someone, you know, that we're being ripped off, that something unfair and unjust is occurring. But this is the exploration of death as the most natural and transitional experience. and that there are things that we might think we need that will be taken from us, but in order to set us further free, which is a recurring theme in the Mayan teaching in natural time. You know, it's why we embrace it in a modern age, because I think it's another approach to the panorama of spiritual purpose to consider the Mayan interpretation, which includes the same lessons as almost any spirituality, that if you surrender and accept what is, then you feel closer to divine resonance. So the white world bridger wave spell has this echo of the white mirror wave spell. I would say the white mirror wave spell is more challenging because it's more stridently intrusive. There is a sort of human willful act of death as the metaphor. Doesn't mean that's what happens in the wave spell, but white mirror is the metaphor of a human sacrifice ceremony. White world bridger is not orchestrated by humans. It's natural death. It occurs in human life or animal life. It is the end of an incarnation, is the end of our life experience. And in the white world bridger wave spell, we have versions of that, we have the metaphor of that something just stops, and then you get to celebrate what's still there, but something really does die away. I'm not sure that I can express it well ahead of time, but I just always want to make that little like postscript available. It's the wave spell of death. It is the power of death that drives white world bridger, but certainly there might be death within it, and we can observe whose and what are the circumstances behind it. But it's for us personally, in our own spiritual pursuit or our metaphysical pursuit or our emotional self-exploration, we're just going to find out like what part of our lives, aspect of self, is ready to transition and be with the ancestors. You know, what are we going to give away? What are we going to, send forward ahead of us? Maybe it'll wait for us, or maybe there's someone there on the other side who's going to take it from us like a burden that we're relieved of. I think, again, we have 13 days to explore White World Bridger, but that's something else I would say, it's occurring to me to say here at the outset, is it is a time, it's called White World Bridger in the modern language to train us to think of death as a bridge between worlds, not as an ending, not as the absence even of vitality, but that it moves from one stage here, Earth, what we call alive, to an afterlife where there are many spirits dwelling. That's the theory, I think. And we can use this time to communicate with them, or I would say receive communication, or maybe you have something to say to someone who's in the afterlife ahead of you. And it could be a relative, or it could be, I guess often it is a relative. I just don't know what that means. It's someone who has died ahead of you, maybe in your lifetime or maybe many, many lifetimes ago. Does that make sense? Ancestors aren't just our grandparents that have gone ahead of us. It could be much farther back. It could be someone we don't even know in cognition is important to us from beyond the grave. So those are exciting things to anticipate, but do it gently. I'm kind of amped up, but I'm just amped up because my life is very chaotic right now, and I'm not amped up about trying to figure out what White World Bridger is. So don't follow that lead. Just get ready to be watchful. I just think it's such a beautiful time to be an observer, and that we imitate the dead in the sense that I think it's a pretty inactive time. Things can be finally, like the ending of something can arrive, and that can mean busy work of finishing a project, a relationship. But I believe that what we're opening up to is the stillness of being, not actually here.
And maybe it's worth mentioning that Red Skywalker and White Worldbridger are analogs. They support each other. So we kind of have this fluidity of moving from one to the next. There is. Maybe that's why this cosmic day that I'm talking from has been so subdued or successful, you know, not debilitating with things locking up and being impossible, but just pretty open and accomplished, is because there is a gentle fluidity going from Red Skywalker to White Worldbridger, because they're sort of like siblings within the Zolkin tribes. And then I think as monumentally is to check in here about the lunar moon. So there's always kind of two tendrils of natural time that I talk about. I talk about where we are in the Zolkin, which is the array of 13-day wave spells that are named and embody each of the 20 tribes. The 20 tribes that represent the 20 totems that the Maya chose from their what I call circle of life, i.e. their picture of creation. They chose 20 seminal symbols, roles, some animals, aspects of the cosmos, the sky and earth. And so they chose 20 icons that we revere over 20 days. And then each of them also get their 13-day heyday, which is their wave spell. So we talk about what wave spell we're in. We keep it present that way within the Zolkin. And then there's the 13 moon year, which is a different calendar, because the Maya were really fascinated by tracking time in cycles. And they were masterful at it. It's where they're not acknowledged in the world pantheon of science or religion. It's why, you know, you can have some pride or dignity that you have discovered their teachings, even in this filtered way that feels more Western, maybe, than their original premise. I think it's a respectful approach to kind of have the Westernized version and admit that it has been altered in language and perhaps in perception, and that you're allowed to have your own perceptions grow from your path in natural time, your personal study or prayerful reverence of natural time. You're going to come to your own conclusions about days and day names and tribes and how wave spells flow, and great, that's very much encouraged. But when we consider how the Mayan teachings are really ignored in the presentation of world spirituality and religion, then it's nice to come deeply into this realization that they had a number of calendars, and we're going to follow a few. We're going to follow three, I think, is as many as we really get to experience. I talk predominantly about two. I talk about the Zolkin, the 260-day sacred count that is not really based on any kind of, orbital of any planet around the sun. And then I talk about the 13 moon year, which is exactly based on our Earth's orbit around the sun, just as we consider a year always. A year to human beings means 365 days, which is the length of time the Earth takes to move around the sun. And the Maya had a different approach in that they started their year on July 26th. So we're really pretty close to the beginning of the year if it's the Mayan year. And in the beginning of the year, we attract our purpose and we celebrate 13 months instead of 12. They each have 28 days in them. And the first month that we call the magnetic moon, we attracted our purpose for 28 days. And that started July 26th, and it went then to later August. And then we switched to the lunar moon, the second moon of the year. And that one we've been in for 24 days, and we only have 4 days to go. And the lunar moon has the distinction of being the one that we identify the challenge that this year, this Mayan year, presents in our lives. And that is a huge part of the structure of following the Mayan teachings, is the willingness to have our purpose be given to us, not decided by us. This year, I'm going to do this with my life is not the approach of natural time or the Mayan teachings. The difference is that we just open ourselves receptively in the beginning of the year and we see what arrives in our lap, because we're going to attract a karma, a destiny, a purpose, a project. And we can just trust that if it comes in the magnetic moon, it's going to be what occupies us for the year. But in the lunar moon, the second moon, there's something happening, which is identification of what within that purpose that we've been given is not easy, is hard, is designed to make us grow stronger, because we feel almost too weak to bear it at the beginning of the year. Like right now, each of us might have circumstances of slight overwhelm or entire overwhelm, because this time of the year is to identify what is difficult, challenging, unfamiliar. We don't feel necessarily we have the strength to face it. It is the theme of our year that what challenges us right now will be sorted out, worked out, so that we're strong enough to overcome it, to grow much bigger than it, so that it diminishes in terms of threat or intimidation in our lives, that we become strong enough to face it. And ultimately, it is the structure of something that is intimidating and seems maybe too big to even approach. Maybe at this moment it has some resonance of that, but ultimately it is what's going to lift us up, because we overcome our challenge by basically summiting it. I love that picture, you know, that we get to this wall, a mountain, you know, a granite face. It seems impossible to find our way over it, but we do find our way in the moons to come, as this wave spell, the annual 13 moon wave spell, presents itself. We will find the strength and the insight and the information to overcome what is challenging us right now. And it will then lift us up. Sometimes I feel like I use too many words when I really just want to draw a picture, but I'm not going to add any pictures to any part of my podcast platform. It would be a video anyhow, or it would be an instruction manual, like a cartoon version, showing you, like, look, here's how the wave spell is really a mountain range. You know, the Himalaya are a rolling wave of massive granite. And so if we have an annual wave spell of 13 moons, it's a 365-day wave experience. We are basically climbing a giant mountain slowly, but, you know, always gaining altitude. And in the time of our exhaustion or our sore muscles, that's us growing and expanding greater than the thing that at the outset seemed insurmountable or undesirable to approach, terrorizing in some way. And with all that said, we are still in a magnetic year for the entire year. The natural time year that we're in since July 26 is called a magnetic year. It's the beginning of a 13-year wave spell. It's white magnetic wizard. And this whole year, we're going to be attracting our purpose. So I don't know if this is true, but I just think that the lunar moon, while challenging, has not been nearly as off-putting or intense as past lunar moons that I've had to reconcile in the 20 years that I've studied the calendar. And I think it's just because we're muting some of our experiences, because there's this brand new 13-year wave spell that has kind of precedence. haven't been talking about it, but it lives strongly in the background. And the last thing that was really been on my mind about the lunar moon, you know, it's great if I can think about it for days and then talk about it here, is that I don't know if other people have challenges in this time, i.e. all the people, most of the people in the world that don't follow the Mayan cycles. You know, it reminds me of Mercury retrograde, and people say sometimes cynically, well, if you don't even know it's happening, then it might not affect you as much. But once you start believing in it, then you draw all these experiences to justify it. And that's crazy, you know, just don't believe in it and don't have half the consciousness of things that are going out of whack in the retrograde cycle. And I think that's very apt in a way, that is a correct awareness, that you know, identification, that if you know something's happening, you might generate a lot of evidence to substantiate it. If you believe in something, your life is going to present you with events, circumstances, synchronicities that prove your belief system. And that is not weakness or manipulation or bad, you know, it's not immoral to have a belief system that takes you through hard times. And, you know, hard times aren't negative and black. They are just different than easy times. So I am bringing this up because I believe that the lunar moon might be more challenging for me than people that know nothing about it. I could probably find challenge that substantiates the lunar moon in any person's life, because that is kind of my role as an astrologer, is to be privy and intuitive so that I can go, oh yeah, but look, that might be your challenge. And then people might even agree if I point it out to them. But for those of us following it, I think I chose this last week after we went through the third week in the West and then this final week that we're in our bodies, embodiment, Earth, week of the lunar moon, I just thought, well, I really, really, truly am devoted to these teachings. It's like the cornerstone of my thoughts and interpretation of life. I think about lots of other things in the day, and I do lots of other things, but it is foundational to everything I do and everything I think. It's sort of in the background, and it can't be subdued or erased for me. And so it's perfect that in giving myself over to a cycle of 13 stages that move in a wave form, it's perfect that I fully embrace, believe, and validate the lunar moon, 28 days of challenge. And to that end, I think that some things are going to be easier in a week when we're in the electric moon. And then not everything is immediately easier, but it moves out of this time of challenge slowly and steadily when it ends. And that can be just crazy projection and, like I said, sort of psycho manipulation. Or it can be what it is to be a disciple, where you accept a certain paradigm and work within it as part of your faith and dedication to God. So I'm not, you know, high on my dedication to God. I'm just high on divinity itself and how it presents itself through the Mayan teachings. So in order to stay close to divinity, I stay close and trust the Mayan cycles. And that means that I give myself over to the lunar moon. And I've had some setbacks, not like super soreness, just like, inconvenient. And really, you know, that again, why doesn't anything want to budge? And then I go, oh, but you're too attached to the lunar moon. If you wouldn't just think about it as much, maybe you wouldn't have these setbacks. And then I just again say, well, I really prefer to have setbacks that are kind of dumb or just sort of predictable and stereotypical of challenge. disappointment, rejection. Let me have that, because I want every orientation to natural time that I'm offered. I want to embrace the lunar moon. I want to embrace the white Wurlbutcher wave spell. If other people are skipping out or missing out or oblivious to these cycles and they don't have death experiences and they don't have challenge, that doesn't mean they're wrong and it doesn't mean I'm wrong. It's just where we've landed with our karma and our deepest desires of how to connect to divinity. So thanks for listening. That's just part of the process here of emerging from the lunar moon, which, as I said, ends on Thursday, and I'll have one more podcast that will be the final capitulation and transition to the electric moon that starts on Friday, the 20th of September. And you can order my book at resonanttruth.com. It is also called Natural Time, and it is a thorough introduction and moves to really deep teachings on the natural time calendars. And I am Lisa Starr. I am another year of self, and my name is Sarah. In the